If you haven't heard yet about a racehorse named Funnyside, prepare to get an earful this week. If he finishes first at the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, Funnyside will be the first horse since 1978 to win Thoroughbred's Horse Racing's Triple Crown. He'll also be the first castrated horse, or gelding, to claim racing's three most important events. It would be a historic moment, but one that would also leave those in the lucrative breeding industry wondering, what if? NPR's Tom Goldman explains.
Let's say Funnyside wins. He captures the grueling mile-and-a-half-long Belmont Stakes and becomes the 12th horse to win the Triple Crown.
Had he not been castrated and achieved all those top performances, it's conceivable his stud fee would be in the $75,000 to $100,000 range.
That fee, says horse breeding expert Rick Waldman, would be for one successful mating. Imagine that amount many times over, and imagine how the fee would go even higher if Funnyside's children and grandchildren turned out to be top racehorses as well. Rick Waldman doesn't imagine it. He sees how lucrative the breeding business can be every day. Waldman works at Overbrook Farm in Lexington, Kentucky, managing Stormcat, the richest stallion in the world. Waldman arranges breeding sessions, or as he puts it quite succinctly,
I pimp for Stormcat.
And with a stud fee of $500,000,
this year's breeding season alone, Stormcat will generate over $20 million.
It's Peace for Funnyside. Just in front, Peace Rules on the inside, and Empire Maker. Funnyside looking to upset the Derby. Funnyside at 12-1 wins it by a length and three quarters.
Funnyside has won nearly $2 million. Winning the Belmont and the Triple Crown is worth $6 million more. Great money, but not even close to the top breeding money. Then again, horse racing fans around the world might never have even heard of Funnyside if he hadn't had the operation that ended his breeding future. Racehorses often are castrated to tame a wild, undisciplined streak, but Funnyside had an undescended testicle, which causes discomfort in racehorses. Since his original owners felt he didn't have a great lineage, they decided to geld him completely in the hopes that Funnyside would have a good racing career. Certainly, there was precedent for such a decision. Ed Bowen heads the Kentucky-based Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation, an organization that raises money to ensure the health and safety of horses.
Over history, there's been some of the most courageous and determined animals you can ever imagine as racehorses have been geldings. You think of horses like Kelso and Forgo, and years ago, Exterminator, and more recently, John Henry.
But never a Triple Crown winner. Not, says Bowen, because geldings lack the ability or strength, but because at the highest levels of racing, he says there aren't as many.
Most horses that are good enough to even be considered for the Triple Crown are horses with a good enough pedigree that they have an inherent value as breeding animals, and there's a great reluctance to geld them.
Jack Knowlton and the other owners bought Funnyside when the horse already was a gelding. Speaking on a scratchy cell phone, Knowlton said there were no regrets about missing out on a possible breeding jackpot.
You know, we never got into this thinking that we were going to make a lot of money or even thinking we were going to make any money. It's an easy decision for us what we're going to do. He's going to race in the future, and that, if he can stay sound, he's going to take us places that we never would otherwise be able to go.
Indeed, what Funnyside gives up in breeding, he gains in racing longevity. Most three-year-old horses disappear to the breeding sheds after the Triple Crown campaign. But if Funnyside stays healthy and keeps winning for several years, he could be the kind of hero every sport craves. National racing official Tim Smith envisions a victory Saturday, the first Triple Crown in 25 years, as the start of a Funnyside craze that could help boost horse racing's popularity.
If we combine the once-in-25-year achievement with a more extended racing career, and you throw in the debut in the same year of the film Seabiscuit, you have the equivalent from a marketer's standpoint of a perfect storm.
It's too early to liken Funnyside to the beloved 1930s racehorse Seabiscuit, but there are good storylines that might just capture the public's imagination. Jack Knowlton and his whimsical gang of high school buddies who own Funnyside. Jockey Jose Santos, motivated by false accusations that he cheated during the Kentucky Derby. And Funnyside himself, whose legacy won't be breeding a next generation of stars, but instead winning races and perhaps energizing an entire sport in the process. Tom Goldman, NPR News.